because they're my friends. And because even though we might say, well, so-and-so's a drug addict, so-and-so's a paranoid schizophrenic, somebody else has got a long 56 convictions for something or other, which they have, I am every bit, as broken as they are. Only I'm middle class and educated and I can conceal it. So each of those pictures that you see there, pictures of offenders, sex workers, drug addicts, homeless, and people who, for whatever reason, decorate or disfigure their bodies, they are church where I am. Which side of the wall in that video we watched do those people stand?
The other side
of the wall. They stand on the other side of the wall. Just mindful of the fact, I can tell this story because she won't mind. I was with a friend of mine Wednesday night. I try and have one evening a week at home with my wife, and we were tucking into, it was gorgeous actually, it was a kind of vegetable pasta mixture. And we'd poured a modest glass of wine, and my phone was switched off because it was my night off, but Nikki's phone wasn't switched off, and that rang, and it was our friend who was calling from Southend A&E, where she was about to be sectioned. I forget how many times she's been sectioned under the Mental Health Act, so compulsorily taken to a psychiatric hospital. And they took her to A&E first because she's a self-harmer, and her arms and indeed her whole body are covered in deep scars where she self-harms. She'd taken 15 diazepam tablets, and would we go up there? And we got to A&E, and the sister in charge there, and believe me, sisters in charge of A&E, they've seen everything that there is to see in life, and I admire them greatly. But she looked very relieved to see us when we turned up, and who are you? And I'm the pastor of so-and-so. Oh! And they called off the security guards who were watching over her, and we took her as a voluntary admission, persuaded her to go voluntarily into the local psychiatric hospital, which was hard going because when I parked the car it took us about half an hour to get her about 100 yards from the car park to the place where she was admitted, and that involved it involved lots of vomiting and smoking heavy-duty roll-ups. But that young lady who's 22 is not a list of diagnostic labels. She's my friend. She's a sister in Christ who, with all of the crap that's gone on in her life, is trying to follow Christ and to be a faithful follower of Jesus. And she called me last night about 11 o'clock here, just wanting to talk. She'd been discharged. She always is discharged very rapidly because she has a personality disorder. There's nothing that psychiatric medicine can do for her in terms of a cure. It's about managing her in the community. And every congregation has people like that. Somewhat like that, difficult people, people with problems, people who don't live the squeaky clean lives that you and I lead. Coo. But most of the people like that are the other side of the wall. About 4 years ago, I had a month sabbatical, and I used it to go around and look at what God was doing in different expressions of church. And it's a very, you've had your sabbatical, haven't you? Very, very dangerous thing to let a minister go on sabbatical. Very dangerous. At the very least, they come back with ideas. And one of the churches that I hadn't heard of before that I went to visit was this crazy setup in Southend called Church from Scratch. And I spent a day in Church from Scratch, this was in 2007, and wrote it up when I got back, along with 12 other churches that I visited during the month. And of course, 2 years later, out of the blue, having suddenly twigged one Sunday morning that God might be saying, listen up, I've got something to say to you. I've got a call out of the blue saying, we've got a job going, would you be interested? No. You don't do any preaching, you don't have Sunday services. Not my kind of thing at all, really. I admire it. But then God changed our minds in about 15 minutes as we prayed and thought about it. But I went around to lots of other different churches. And I've been going to church since I was 18 months old. I know church. I know how churches work. I'm absolutely soaked in the culture of church. It's very interesting to visit different churches, to be the stranger. Even one who knows the talk, who knows roughly what's going to happen, who can critique the sermon. It's a terribly hard thing to go into a new church and not feel completely conspicuous. And I'm normal and middle class and able to talk the talk. What about these guys? Church from Scratch was set up 9 years ago by three Baptist churches in the South End area, Westcliff Baptist Church, West Lee and Lee Road, who had there someone who was training at Spurgeon's for Baptist pastoral ministry and had a call to be a church planter. And what they said to him was, go and do what you need to do and reach out to people that in a year of Sundays we would never reach. And if you need to set up something quite new, set it up, as long as it doesn't look like us, because if it looks like us, it might as well be us. Go and set up something that meets the needs of people that we cannot reach. And they each covenanted a third of a stipend and expenses for 3 years to release my colleague Peter Dominey to go and do that. And he started an alpha group in his home. He decided that he was going to just simply make Jesus at the center. He abandoned everything he had known about as traditional trappings of church. Didn't have a Sunday, it wouldn't go to Sunday services anywhere. He forced himself to go to IKEA and to sit in bed and drink coffee and eat brioche and, yeah, because he wanted nothing that was going to get in the way of Jesus at the centre. Friends, I'm not advocating that you do away with your Sunday service. I'm not here to sell you a package. I'm simply telling you a story. And they set up their first alpha group, and he simply went round to people that he met on the streets and invited them into his home and had the meal, and they did the alpha. And at the end of that alpha course, they all wanted to follow Christ. And so they continued as a group, and they met one night of the week, and then another night of the week, he had a separate group, a new alpha group, and that started off, and that comprised the friends of those who'd come to the first group and some others, and they all wanted to follow Christ. And very few of them would have fitted neatly into Lee Road or Westcliff or Wesley Baptist churches, which are lovely churches. They're gorgeous and welcoming. And I preach at each of those regularly, and it feels like family. And they support us financially and in prayer, and they're still utterly sold on the vision. But those people would not easily cross the threshold, nor would it be easy for the folk in those churches to relate to them. And I want to applaud and thank those three churches for doing what they did. It was a bold step. They put their money up front on something very risky. If I've got a slight criticism, it is that they only went halfway. and that they didn't then somehow find a way of changing themselves to be open to whoever wanted to come in. In other words, they sent a big load of people out, because they've also seconded some of their best people to church from scratch, out to the front side of the wall, instead of getting some chisels out and taking the wall down. And taking the wall down would mean, firstly, that you cannot judge the people on the other side. And we wouldn't judge them, we'd be polite about it, wouldn't we? You mustn't judge them. You have to recognize that you are every bit as broken as those guys. You're just good at hiding it. I mentioned in the first session that I had one big regret about my, whatever it is, 26 years of experience as a preacher, that I had soft-sold what it is to be a follower of Christ. And partly, of course, that's because if you sell it too hard, who would come along and join? Except, actually, you look at the Muslims. We were ministering in East London before with a very large Muslim population, and what do you find is that actually the Muslim mosques are thriving. And on Fridays, they go to Jummah prayers, Friday prayers, about 1 o'clock-ish. You'd see the streets full of men in shalwar kameez going off to pray. And it's because there is a rigour about their faith. There is something rigorous about it. And I admire that, though I think they're sincerely mistaken about a great many things. But I admire that rigour. If I've got a regret about my pastoral experience, and by nature I'm not really, I'm a task-centred person, not necessarily a person-centred person. I've learnt a lot, some of it through the School of Hard Knocks, getting it wrong. I have a regret that in the past I've required people to become like the community I was in order to be accepted, instead of breaking open lovingly the community to change, to accept all people. Sobering. A question, not a rhetorical one, but one for you to answer yourself, not for discussion, perhaps now, later. But when people come to Pilgrim's Hatch, do they need to change to become like you? You. In order to get in. Let me go on to the first of the diagrams, yes. Some years ago, a sociologist called Hebert came up with a couple of models of what church is like, or what any group is like, but particularly churches. And the first is called a bounded set. How many of you have seen this before, are familiar with this? One or two nodding? Okay. Virtually every church you will ever come across is a bounded set. In other words, there are people who are in and people who are out. And the basis on which you come in is the extent to which you are able to climb over this barrier here, the barrier to entry. And all of the effort of those who are inside, or pretty much all of the effort, certainly the major part, is spent in defending the boundaries. Making sure the right people come in and the wrong people stay on the outside. Now, this chimes with our Baptist theology, actually. When you think that when Baptist churches first came into being, you needed to know that those who were with you as part of the gathered church, the community of faith, that those were people who had a genuine experience of Christ, because if they weren't people who had that genuine experience, the likelihood is they would cut you before the judges and you'd be topped. So there was a strong argument in favour of the early Baptist churches being bounded set churches. Where do you think in this model people are who have their faces studded or who have cuts all the way up their arm? Often churches allow in the token one or two. There's Michael, for the sake of a name, who drinks too much, and sometimes he gets a bit stroppy. Well, there's Mrs. X, who is confused and sometimes mumbles to herself while someone's preaching. And we treat them as eccentrics or as projects, but they're outside. Alan Hirsch and Michael Frost, authors who've written a great deal about the way that churches are developing, and particularly in their work called The Shaping of Things to Come, it's worth reading. Again, don't read it uncritically. Make sure that you're testing every part of it. The Shaping of Things to Come, Hirsch and Frost. They make the point that in a bounded set church, it has hard edges and a soft centre. By which they mean you have to climb the boundary to get in, but once you're in, you can veg out, actually. Because really, you're in. There's nothing more still to do. The big effort is to get in. And once people have got inside, the struggle to get in over that red ring boundary there means that they no longer have very many points of reference to the people they knew when they were on the outside. Where is Jesus in this? I don't know. I know he's certainly on the outside, because that's where people are. Jonah is on the inside, and the people of Nineveh are on the outside. Peter is with Cornelius on the outside, and the early church is standing in the middle, looking over the parapet and saying, shouldn't be doing that, should you? Let's go on to the next slide. The opposite of a bounded set is a centered set. And a centered set model has no boundaries. It has no edges. But it has a very strong centre. And in church terms, there are no barriers to entry, but Christ is at the centre. And what that means is that anyone is welcome, anyone is accepted who wants to make that journey little by little towards the centre. And those who are further in will beckon and they'll call and they'll encourage, and sometimes they'll drag people further in towards the centre. No one has yet made it to the very centre. Some are a little further ahead on the journey than others. Some people are leaving or drifting away. Other people are heading as fast as they can on an inward direction. It is messy. It is chaotic. It plays merry hell every year when you have to do the Baptist Union return, which says how many people are in your church and how many people do you occasionally see. I mean, our church secretary just scratches his head. And how do I work this out? Because in Church from Scratch, we have no barriers to entry. Membership, we call it partnership, is renewable annually, and it is entirely self-selecting. Anyone can make themselves a member of our church. Again, I'm not trying to sell you a package here. What may be right for us may not be right for you. But it does mean that every year, as with indeed the Methodists with their annual covenant service. Have you ever read the Methodist covenant pledge? It's unbelievably rigorous. I find it difficult to say it with any integrity. Because if you really believe that, you'd understand why Charles Wesley wrote that hymn earlier and how he could do it with such rigour. And what we do is we repeat our partnership promises every January, and we expect people with some integrity to say, well, actually, I can't do that this year, or I can't do it at the moment, because I'm a long way. I'm on my way out. And it means you get some strange people in church. Really strange people. People like me, actually. And stranger than me. But little by little, we're calling people into where Jesus is. Hirsch and Frost say that they use a model from Australia. I was very brave at coffee time, actually. All you lot stuck together, didn't you? But I sat down with two Catholic deacons. And respect. The PD part of their name stands for Perpetual Deacon. That thought struck terror into my heart. Perpetual deacon. It's a bit like life deacon, only perpetual sounds as though it goes on after death, doesn't it? They're perpetual deacons, so they are. Some of them are married, and they assist in the pastoral and preaching work of their parishes, but they cannot preside at Mass. And one of them was Australian. And we got talking about differences between the church in Australia and here. Hirsch and Frost use an Australian model in the shaping of things to come. And what they're saying is if you go to an Australian ranch, it could be that it's 1,500 hectares. Big, big, big. You cannot put a fence around the outside of all of that and keep all of your sheep in. Because nobody can afford the fencing. Nobody can afford the maintenance. Who'd want to be bothered going around putting in the posts? So what you do is you drill a number of wells, springs, and the sheep stay close to where the water is and they don't wander off. How much of my time as a pastor has been spent repairing and defending the fences? And how little has been spent sinking wells and creating springs which people will gravitate towards. Jesus says, do not judge and you will not be judged. Do not condemn and you will not be condemned. Forgive and you will be forgiven. Give and it will be given to you. A good measure, pressed down, shaken together and running over, will be poured into your lap. For with the measure you use, it will be measured to you. Can we have the slide up, please, with the tasks? I think it's the next one, is it? Okay, that's it. Valuing all people. Suggestion is that we break into the smaller groups, that we read Luke 6, 37 to 42 again slowly, that we just talk about things, and perhaps major on 37 to 38, which is the key part of it. Discuss among yourselves, is Pilgrim Baptist Church a bounded or centred church? What should it be? I'm not loading that. It may be that you should stay a bounded set church. It may be that's important. If that's what Christ at the centre is calling you to do, then affirm it. But whatever it is, what should it be? How do you get from where, it doesn't say this here, but how do you get from where you are now to where you should be? And if we are all broken, how does this mean we relate to strangers? In the first session we thought about if you were having Christ at the centre, what else if anything was non-negotiable. I hope nothing is non-negotiable. Everything is up for change, potentially. What is it that needs to change in Pilgrim's Hatch for people who are radically different to you to come in and find a community that will love and encourage and value them despite the fact that they are very different? With people in Church from Scratch, I was saying to someone this week, and then I'll stop and we'll go into groups. I'll describe them a little more tomorrow, of kind of typical way we do things. But every couple of weeks, three of us who are pastors in the church take a couple of hours to have a theological reflection on something which has happened and the kind of things that we have to work through. They're all grounded in reality and what's actually happening. The kind of things that we work through are, well, somebody is having an affair. Somebody's just got pregnant. A lesbian couple want us to do their civil ceremony. How do we stand with people who self-evidently are being abused by the mental health system? What do we do with somebody who's got themselves into serious, serious debt and somebody's threatening to break their legs if they don't pay up? And this is run-of-the-mill stuff. It is chaos. Just bear in mind that if you go down this route of being more open and valuing people, pretty much everything that you've known as a fixed and secure point of reference will be endangered. What is Christ telling you to do? You might want to work in the same groups as before, or you might want to mix and match, go and find somebody else. We're not going to use the little cards this time. You've got your task. There's more paper over here. If you want to use the paper just to jot down what you're thinking, but we'll have a discussion afterwards, not a report back, a discussion at about 22. We'll have a discussion. It's all right, is it 22? Yep. About what we think God has been saying. Is everyone clear about the task?